إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is going to be our 36th session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen, Fi Sharh al-Arba'een wa Tatimmat al-Khamseen, the explanation of 50 hadith of al-Imam al-Nawwi and al-Imam ibn Rajab, rahimahumullah. May Allah have mercy upon both of them, with the commentary of our Shaykh al-Allama, Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahullah. This evening, the hadith that we're going to be looking at is hadith number 31 from the 40 hadith of al-Imam al-Nawwi. But before doing so, inshallah, we're going to take a quick look at some of the subjects or topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 35. The first question being, summarize the main subject or main topic of hadith number 30. Yani in summary, what was the main topic? Last week's hadith. Fadlu.
The limits.
Okay, that's one of the topics. That's part of the topic, the limits, the hudud of Allah. Na'am.
Four aspects of the deen of Islam.
Okay, four aspects, yani, four aspects or the four divisions of the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am. Anybody else? Na'am.
How we should interact with those various four divisions.
And how we interact with them. Yani, what is required of us in reference to the things that Allah made obligatory and the things that Allah made haram and the things that, the limits that Allah set, and as well as the things that Allah was yani silent about, meaning He didn't make any ruling concerning those matters. Now, the second question, who is the rawi, the narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith, in whose collection this hadith is found? Now, Abdul Wali. ثعلبة نعم
القشني
نعم difficult name right جرثوم نعم ابن ناشي رضي الله نعم رضي الله عنه and the collection in which this hadith is found. Anybody know the collection in which this hadith was found? It's not in the Kutub al-Sunan. Arba, no. Naam?
Ad-Dar-Qutni.
Yani naam. Reported by al-Imam Ad-Dar-Qutni. Collected by al-Imam Ad-Dar-Qutni, rahimahullah. Tayyib, the third question discussed the reason for the author detailing what other scholars said concerning the authenticity of this hadith. Yani he began by mentioning that al-Imam al-Nawwi had declared this hadith to be hasan, and that other scholars before him declared it to be hasan, and he mentioned also what Ibn Rajab said concerning yani those narrations which support the meaning of this hadith. What was the purpose of this discussion concerning yani what the other scholars said concerning this hadith? Now,
because there's some difference of opinion, some scholars believe the hadith to be da'if.
There are some scholars who didn't agree that this hadith is hasan. Some scholars consider this hadith to be weak because of al-inqita, because there is a break in the chain of the narrators. And this is something that we didn't discuss in any detail, and we're not going to discuss now. But it is important that we examine and that we look at it and that we be aware of what the scholars of the people of Sunnah have said concerning the authenticity of a hadith. We don't just accept anything because it's in a book or because it's attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we have to look at yani what the scholars of the people of Sunnah, the specialists in this field, what they have said concerning a hadith being authentic or other than that. Question number 4. Summarize the four divisions of the ahkam of Allah, the legal rulings legislated by Allah mentioned in this hadith. In summary, what are the yani four divisions of the ahkam of Allah? Naam.
The
faraid, naam, obligatory duties,
haram, which are forbidden acts.
The maharam, which are those things that are forbidden?
Mm-hmm.
The hudud,
the boundaries
that Allah has set.
And the maskut anhu, which are the matters Allah remains silent.
And the maskut anhu, the things that Allah was silent about concerning any ruling. He didn't make a ruling concerning them. And of course, we discussed this in some detail. What is important here is that each one of these divisions of the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala require the Muslim to act in a certain way towards them, as Imam Yani reminded us of in the beginning of this discussion. And therefore, it is important that we know the ruling concerning any matter so that we know how we act towards it. What are we supposed to do? Naam. Question number 5, neglecting the faraid or any one of the obligatory duties is by leaving it off altogether or by neglecting it means that you leave it off altogether or
you don't perform it in an effective manner.
You don't perform it in an effective manner. Yani in a proper manner. You don't perform it, yani in the proper manner, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded it to be performed. Question number 6, what are the two ways to understand observing the hudud, the boundaries or the limits of Allah in this hadith? What are the two ways that observing the hudud of Allah may be understood in this hadith? Two ways, the Shaykh mentioned. What's wrong with my name today, Adil? Qasim, I don't know where his name went. he has two questions, I couldn't think of his name. Allahu musta'an.
Yeah, I need to sit over there.
Maybe they're throwing me off there. Hasbullah wa ni'mal wakeel. Now, Adil.
The things that Allah has prohibited.
The things that Allah has
allowed for us to do.
Okay, from two perspectives, the things that Allah has prohibited and the things that Allah has allowed. Anybody want to give further detail to that? Naam.
Allah mentions in the Quran, these are the hudud of Allah. فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. Don't go beyond them. So don't refer to the things that are permissible. And Allah says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. Don't go close to them. Those are the things that are forbidden.
Now, so in reference to the things that are allowed, that Allah has allowed, and the things that is forbidden, Allah, there are two ayats in the Quran, the Imam just mentioned. One of them Allah said, these are the hudud of Allah. Don't go beyond them. Yani don't transgress them. Yani things that Allah has allowed, don't go beyond that into that which is haram. And then he mentions also in the same surah, that these are the boundaries of Allah. Don't go near them. And that's in reference to the things that Allah has made haram. Don't even go near them. Now, so this is very important for us to understand any the language that's used in the Quran, understanding it properly. Now, question number 7, memorize another hadith which uses the word nahaitukum, I have prohibited you, to indicate that which is haram. Yani the Shaykh in our discussion, he mentioned that there are some texts in the Quran which mention that Allah is harrama, he's used with haram, he made something prohibited, and in other places he just said he prohibited something. Mention a hadith that the Shaykh mentioned concerning things that are haram where Allah didn't use the word haram, but he said nahaitukum. Anybody remember that hadith? We had that hadith some time back. Now, Ahsant, mashallah. مَا نَحَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. What I have prohibited you from, leave it off completely. Distance yourself from it. Don't even go near to it. Last question, question number 8, and he remained silent about some things. Yani that came in the hadith, yani that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah remained silent about something. Summarize Ibn Rajab's explanation of this final statement of the hadith. How has Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, summarized this statement? Naam, Abdul Wali.
He didn't make them faraid, he didn't make them haram, and he didn't make them hudud, so do not ask about them.
Okay, so there are some things Allah remains silent about, meaning sakata an hukmuhu. He didn't, yani, mention the ruling concerning it, that it's haram or that it is obligatory or yani or any of the rulings. He didn't say that it's permissible, halal. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give any ruling to that thing. In those cases, those things, yani a person is, yani pardoned, overlooked. For engaging in that, there's no blame on a person for doing so. In reference to these things, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah didn't mention a ruling concerning them, therefore, do not search, look into, or ask about them. Do not look into those things. Allah, he didn't mention their ruling, not out of forgetfulness, but out of what? As mercy. Rahmatan lakum. Because out of mercy. Naam. Tayyib, the last question mentioned the four fawaid, benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. In reference to those four divisions of the ahkam of Allah, he mentioned four benefits. Yani, summarize them. One benefit. Naam.
From the Sharia is that things that are obligatory are not meant to be left off.
Naam, that from the Sharia are some things that Allah made obligatory, they should not be left off, rather they must be performed. Another point he mentioned? Naam.
That is obligatory for a Muslim to leave off what Allah Azza wa Jalla has made haram and distance themselves from.
Yani the things that Allah made haram, it's obligatory to leave them, not to engage in them, and as well to distance themselves from it. Don't go near it. Naam. Third point, Abdul Wali? That was the third point. Now, anyway, second point. Second point, fourth point. Now, it's obligatory to stop at what Allah has allowed. The hudud that Allah has allowed of the permissible things, it's obligatory to stop there and not go beyond them into that which is forbidden. And the last point that the Shaykh mentions from this hadith, fourth point. Fourth point, yani. سكت عنه نعم yes
if there is a ruling for something and it is allowed or allowed then it is from the things that the people are part of
it's from the things that the people are part if there is no ruling يعني if Allah didn't mention any ruling for something that it's يعني halal or haram or obligatory he didn't mention any ruling concerning it, then therefore the people are pardoned for this People are forgiven. There is no blame on the person for doing it. And from these things, the Shaykh said, therefore, do not ask about them. Don't ask about them. Now, okay, these are some of the things that we talked about in the previous session tonight. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, extremely important hadith. And all of these hadith are from the fundamentals, the qawaid, foundations of Islam, as yani, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah intended them to be in his selection of these hadith, and as the scholars have agreed that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him tawfiq in collecting extremely, extremely important, beneficial hadith, the later foundations of Islam that every Muslim is in need of. The hadith tonight, again, an extremely important hadith. And even though the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, Hafizullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, his commentary concerning this hadith is brief. And this is what and he said in the beginning of the book, right, that he's gonna and he gives summarized answers, explanations, not going into a lot of detail. So tonight, again, inshallah, we're gonna take from the commentary of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, yani to complement, yani benefit from both of them together. And any other benefits that we came from any other books according to yani what Allah allows us with the time that we have. Hadith al-Hadith al-Hadi والثلاثون يعني the 31st hadith عن أبي العباس سهل ابن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله دلني على عمل إذا عملته أحبني الله وأحبني الناس يعني أبو العباس سهل ابن سعد الساعدي may Allah be pleased with him he said a man رجلٌ جاء رجلٌ إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم he didn't mention his name and as some of the scholars Shaykh Uthaymeen said so it wasn't really that important to mention his name what was important is يعني the issue that came up the question and the explanation or clarification or answer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said O Messenger of Allah دلني Direct me, guide me to a amal, an action, a deed, something that I can do. دُلَّنِي عَلَىٰ عَمَلٍ إِذَا عَمِلْتُهُ أَحَبَّنِي اللَّهُ وَأَحَبَّنِي النَّاسِ Yani direct me to something that I can do, which if I were to do it, Allah would love me and the people would love me. And here I just want to note the word again that came in this hadith as we saw previously in a hadith just recently. Amal, amal. And again, this shows that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ knew that actions were necessary. People can claim whatever they claim, but actions are required in accordance with the Sharia, according to the Sunnah, sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Direct me. Like, I want Allah to love me. And I also want the people to love me. But most important, I want Allah to love me. Direct me to something. What is it that I can do so that I will earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What could be more important than this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Izhad fi dunya yuhibbaka Allah, wazhad fi ma 'inda an-nasi yuhibbaka an-nas." Yani, observe zuhud in reference to the dunya, this world and the things in it, and if you do that, then Allah will love you. And observe zuhud concerning that which the people have, yani their possessions, their property, their wealth, and the people will love you. And this is hadithun hasanun, it is a hasan hadith, and a good and acceptable hadith. Rawahu ibn Majah, reported by al-Imam ibn Majah rahimahullah, wa ghayruhu, and others besides him, bi asanid hasana, with yani acceptable, good, yani chains of narration. Here I want to just quickly mention that I didn't translate the word zuhud intentionally, because that's going to be the core of our discussion tonight. What is the meaning of zuhud? Some people have translated it as asceticism, and it's not really a common word that we use, at least not me growing up, I didn't use such a word. Some people said yani abstention, yani abstaining from the world, abandoning it, renouncing it. All kinds of words have been used to translate as zuhud, and books have been written about it. Some of the major scholars of Islam, like Imam Ahmed, wrote entire books. The whole book is just about this topic of zuhud. What is it and the matters related to it. So we're going to discuss a little bit and some of the definitions of some of the scholars tonight. But primarily, zuhud, it is in reference to your relationship with the things in this world, the dunya. Yani, what is your relationship to the things of this dunya? As opposed to your relationship with the hereafter. Whether it means abandoning the world, or in what kind of way, or renouncing the world, or abstaining from the things of the world, any of that requires some discussion. We're going to start with just a brief comment from Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, and then we're going to go to the explanation of both, yani the explanation of both Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad and Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. He mentions introductory comment concerning this hadith. He said this is hadha hadithun azim. And I wanted to start with this because yani, this description of the hadith being azim means that it is really, really important. It is a magnificent, extremely important, yani tremendous hadith. The scholars of Islam have mentioned that it is from the qawaid of Islam, the foundations of Islam, which the Muslim must travel upon. And this man, he came and asked the Prophet ﷺ about a deed, that if he were to do it, Allah would love him and the people would love him. فَهَذَا عَمَلٌ جَلِيلٌ. So this is a lofty, noble deed that he's asking about. Yani, if Allah would love you and the people would love you, he said, هَذِهِ سَعَادَةٌ وَخَيْرٌ كَثِيرٌ. Then this is indeed happiness and plenty, yani, of good. That no one would hate you. That no one would hate you. That Allah would love you and the people would love you. This is something, yani, tremendous. So what is that deed which would achieve for a person the pleasure of Allah and the pleasure of the people? That's the question. What is that deed that would achieve the rida of Allah and the rida of the nas? And then the Shaykh mentions, I'll just mention this point and then we'll go to the two explanations. Shaykh Saleh Fawzan mentions about five benefits from this hadith. He doesn't mention them at the end, he mentions them as he's discussing it. So I'm going to try to point out those benefits as he mentioned them, so we can kind of keep in mind some of the things that he said are benefits from this hadith. The first thing that he mentions, وَفِي هَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ رِضَى النَّاسِ مَطْلُوبٌ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي ذَلِكَ إِثْمٌ وَمَعَصِيَةٌ. Yani, in this hadith is an indication that the pleasure of the people, yani the people being pleased with you, loving you, is matloob. Yani, it's something to look for. It's something that is desirable. It's not something that I don't care whether the people love me or not. No. This hadith indicates that it is, yani the pleasure of the people is matloob, but as long as it is achieved without engaging in sin or disobedience to Allah. And then that's the way I'm going to stop at with Sheikh Saleh Fazal. Then we're going to go to the any two explanations, starting with Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad. He says, and the Sheikh, you know, he divides the hadith into points. So this hadith, his brief explanation, he made 4 points. The first point is an introductory comment. The last point are the benefits from it. So there are two things that he talks about in the hadith. Yani the two aspects of this hadith. Achieving the love of Allah and achieving the love of the people. So the first thing he says is that the Ashab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhum, أحرس الناس على كل خير. وَأَسْبَقُ النَّاسِ إِلَى كُلِّ خَيْرٍ يعني that they were the most eager of all people for everything that is good, and they were the first and foremost of the people in doing it. يعني they were eager, desirous of knowing where the good was at, and they were also the first ones to act upon it. يعني they weren't just asking questions like people do today, and then they just ask because يعني intellectual discussion, but then they don't do anything. No, they were the most desirous of all people to know the khair, and they were the first of the people to act upon it. So this particular companion, yani Abu al-Abbas Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'di radiallahu anhu, he was eager to know what it is that will earn the love of Allah and the love of the people. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam this question. And again, he was eager to know what it is that would earn the love of Allah and the love of the people, because what? Because he was intending to do it. He was intending to do it. And so that puts us in a position, yani, where, why do we want to know it unless we're going to do it? So we have to look at ourselves and say, why do I want to know what is pleasing to Allah? Why do I want to know what has been legislated by Allah? Unless I'm going to act upon it. We have to look at ourselves. It's not just accumulation of information. It has to be that we're going to live by it. May Allah grant us success in doing so.
Amen.
So the first part of this hadith, the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he says, his statement, قَوْلُهُ إِزْهَدْ فِي الدُّنْيَا يُحِبَّكَ اللَّهِ يعني observe zuhud in reference to the world and what is in it, and Allah will love you. He made clear, that is the Prophet ﷺ, that the love, the mahabbah of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is achieved through a zuhud fi dunya, by observing zuhud in this dunya. The love of Allah is achieved by a person observing zuhud in the dunya. And the best of what has been said concerning the clarification of what is intended by a zuhud fi dunya, yani Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad says, أَحْسَنُ مَا قِيلَ فِي بَيَانَ الْمُرَادِ بِالزُّهُدِ. The best of what has been said concerning the clarification of what is intended by this word, this expression, الزُّهُد فِي الدُّنْيَا, he said it is, ترك الإنسان كل ما يشغله عن الله. That a human being leaves, abandons, gives up everything that busies him, that occupies him, that distracts him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tonight, we're going to mention different yani sayings of the scholars concerning what is zuhud in dunya. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he says, this is the best of what has been said. In his view, this is the best of what has been said. That a zuhud for dunya, it is that a person leave off everything that busies him, that occupies him, that distracts him from Allah. And that we need to digest and think about, and then yani try to practice it in our lives. This is as it has been transmitted by Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab rahimahullah in his explanation of Jami' al-Usul al-Ulum wal-Hikam, yani volume 2 page 186, where he yani Al-Imam ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, on the authority of Abu Sulaiman ad-Darani rahimahullah, he said that Abu Sulaiman ad-Darani said, ikhtalafu alayna fi zuhd bil-Iraq, yani the people in Iraq, we differed about what is a zuhud? What is the meaning of this zuhud? He said, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَالَ. So some of them said, their opinion was a zuhud, and he mentions three opinions here. That the people said, and then Abu Sulaiman says what he said. So there are four opinions mentioned here by the Shaykh, by Ibn Rajab. He said, some of them said that a zuhud is tarak liqa'a nas, leaving, meeting with the people. Yani socializing, giving up, just socialization, which has no benefit in it. It is just to socialize. Some of them said, tark al-shahwat, that a person abandons Yani the fulfillment of their desires. And some of them said, tark al-shiba, yani leaving off, filling oneself, eating and drinking to one's full. And their speech, yani the opinion of these people, each of them, is qareebun ba'duhu min ba'd. Yani they are close in what they are saying. Because basically all of them are saying, leaving off those things, that are a waste of time. Pretty much. He said, but my opinion was that, and az-zuhd fi tark ma yushghiluka ani Allahi azza wa jalla. That az-zuhd is that a person leaves off whatever occupies them, busies them, distracts them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, yani Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, which was said by Abu Sulaiman, is hasan. It is very good. وهو يجمع جميع معاني الزهد وأقسامه وأنواعه. This is very good because it combines all of the meanings of a zuhud and all of the divisions and types of a zuhud. That's the end of what the Shaykh said. Yani Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad quoting from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab. As far as Shaykh Salih Fawzan, what he said concerning this particular point, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, observe a zuhud in the world, in the dunya, and Allah will love you, and observe zuhud in reference to that which is in the hands of the people, and the people will love you. He said, az-zuhud huwa at-tark. Yani az-zuhud linguistically means at-tark, to leave something, to abandon something, to abstain from it. Yani meaning izhad fi dunya, utruk ad-dunya, leave the world. وليس المراد أن تترك ما تحتاج إليها وما تستغني به من طلب الرزق وكسب الحلال هذا منهي عنه. يعني شيخ صالح فوزان said the meaning of the linguistic literal meaning of zuhud في الدنيا means leaving the dunya, but what is intended by this is not that a person leave off the things that they are in need of. That's not what is intended, and just leave everything. Person doesn't eat and drink, يعني work or do anything. That's not what is intended. It doesn't mean to leave off that which would make you تستغني به, that you become free of need by, that is, seeking your sustenance or earning a halal living. It doesn't mean leaving off that. To do so is manhi anhum. Yani it is prohibited to leave off seeking your sustenance and earning a lawful living. لكن اترك ما لا حاجة لك به. But rather what it means is to leave off that which you don't have any need of, and which is above and beyond what you need. فليس الزهد ترك المباحات التي تحتاجها أنت وأولادك وإنما الزهد ترك الفضول التي لا تحتاج إليها من الدنيا. So the Shaykh here, he's saying, reiterating the point here, that الزهد is not leaving off the permissible things, lawful things, which you and your children are in need of. That's not zuhud. But rather, indeed, az-zuhud is leaving off the excess, al-fudul, the excess of things from the world that you have no need of. It's leaving off those things that you don't have any need of. Yani a person has what they need, but they're just going off after more and more and more. That is the distraction, yani of the dunya, distracting you and occupying you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, فَالْمُسْلِمْ يُجْمِلُ فِي طَلَبِهِ. And in the meaning of this statement, it appears to be from some hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, what is intended here. In some of the hadith, the Prophet used this word, and the meaning of it is, الْمُسْلِمْ يُجْمِلُ فِي طَلَبِهِ, that a Muslim seeks. Yani when he seeks the things of the world, he seeks it in a lawful manner and in accordance with, yani without being excessive and extravagant and going to the extremes. The Shaykh gives a little bit of definition to it. لا يحرس حرسا شديدا على الدنيا وعنده ما يغني. Yani a person has what he needs, what's sufficient, and then he doesn't just go after the dunya. Yani just going after it, going crazy, looking for more and more and more, while he already has what he needs. This is something that we have to be careful of, especially in the Western society where we have been trained and programmed and cultivated that you need more and more and more. I have what I need, but you know what? And I'm trying to be careful what I'm saying right here, but maybe I better not say it. But in any case, the point is, because maybe somebody here knows what I'm talking about, I don't want to do that. But Yani a person is so occupied with seeking the things of the world, getting money, making more money, that they don't have time to come to the masjid in Jama'ah. They don't have time to go to a class and learn. To learn the Arabic language, to learn how to read the Quran, to learn their deen. Because what? They are distracted from Allah and the deen of Allah and what they need in order to worship Allah by seeking the dunya. That's the problem. That is the problem. The Shaykh said the Muslim, yani, in their seeking, they confine themselves to that which is halal and they don't go to the excessiveness, to the extreme, extravagance. They are not going after the dunya, yani being so eager for it and greedy for it while they already have what they need. The Shaykh says, وَهَذِهِ قَائِدَةٌ. This is a qaida, this is a principle that we can follow. Observe zuhud in reference to the dunya and Allah will love you. If a person observes zuhud in the dunya, Allah will love them. And then the Shaykh mentions another benefit from this hadith, وَهَذَا فِيهِ مَدْحُ الزُّهُدْ فِي مَا لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ الْإِنسَانِ. Yani in this hadith, this hadith is expressing praise for zuhud, that it is something commendable in reference to a person abstaining from and not being desirous of and going after that which they don't need. Why don't you go out and get another job, make more money, huh? Why? I don't have any need for it. To abstain from that is praiseworthy. To abstain from that is what will earn for you the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh goes on to say more benefits from this hadith, and I'll try to read them quickly for the sake of time. فيه دليل على أن الله يحب عباده المؤمنين. In this hadith also is an indication, a dalil, a proof, a evidence that Allah loves His believing worshippers. That Allah loves them. يعني abstain from the, يعني the dunya and Allah will love you. Allah loves His believing worshippers. ففيه وصف الله بالمحبة. In this hadith is a description of Allah being described with love, loving, that Allah loves, just as He يَبْغَضُ وَيَقْرَهُ, just as He hates and detests, He also loves. And the mahabba of Allah Ta'ala لَيْسَتْ مِثْلَ مَحَبَّةِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. The love of Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala that He's described with love is not like the love of the created beings, the way people love. No. And the bughd, Allah's hatred and karahiyya, His dislike, detesting things, ليست كبغض وكراهية المخلوق. When Allah hates something, and when He dislikes something, and when He loves something, is not like the hating and the dislike and the love of the created beings. بل هذا خاص به سبحانه وتعالى كسائر صفاته. And this is very important, and we don't have time to go into it, but the Shaykh is saying here that these descriptions of Allah, of loving and hating and detesting, whatever descriptions of Allah that came in the Quran and in the Sunnah, are خاص به, yani they are special, particular and exclusive to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like His other sifat. The human being is described with loving, but the love of the human being is not like the love of Allah, and so on. So this requires yani a course in and of itself, yani understanding the meanings and how we apply and understand and act upon the sifat of Allah, the asma of Allah and the sifat of Allah. Then the Shaykh mentions, this is the end of what he says concerning the first part of the hadith, فيه, يعني another فائدة, فيه أن الأمور الدين يسأل عنها أهل العلم. And in this hadith we understand that matters related to the deen, who we ask about them are the أهل العلم, the ulama, the scholars. You want to know something about the deen? Don't just ask the guy around the corner on the block, the mechanic or the doctor. You ask the أهل العلم, the people who have knowledge of the deen. And this man, in this hadith, he came and he asked the Prophet ﷺ about matters related to the deen. He didn't make up something from himself. وَلَمْ يَبْتَكِرْ شَيْئًا مِنْ عِنْدِهِ. He didn't just make it up. He wanted to know something about the deen. He asked, who are you supposed to ask? He asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is because whoever makes up something in this deen, أحدث شيئًا في الدين من عنده, from himself, صار مبتدئًا. The person who does this, he becomes a مبتدئ, an innovator. The fact that you do something as a means of getting near to Allah that was not brought by the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you think that this thing is hasan, good, he said, this is bid'ah, wa qabih, wa mardood. To do something intending it to be a means of nearness to Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't bring it to us. He said to do so, thinking that this is good, is bid'ah. It is innovation. And it is qabih. It's ugly. And it's mardub, rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't accept it, however good it may seem to you. So the affairs of the deen, the Messenger of Allah, he's the one that's asked about them. And then those who came after him from amongst the ulama, who are the inheritors of the prophets. And the Muslim does not, yani, venture into doing something as a means of nearness to Allah while he doesn't know is this from the deen of Allah or not. One has to be certain. After this, yani, the second part of the hadith, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, in point number 3, he says, the saying, before we go to the second part of the hadith, let me just briefly read what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said for the first part of this hadith. He said very, very briefly, yani, observing zuhd in the dunya, it means utruk fi dunya ma la yanfa'uka fil akhirah. This is another definition of az-zuhd fi dunya. Utruk fi dunya ma la yanfa'uka fil akhirah. Yani, leaving off from the things of the world whatever is not going to benefit you in the next life. Anything that's not going to benefit you in the next life, leaving off. That's zuhud. And this is the definition of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And if we have time, we'll go to it. He said, this, leaving off whatever doesn't benefit you in the hereafter, يَتَضَمَّنُ أَنَّهُ يَرْغَبُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. This includes, implies in it, that the person who leaves off whatever is not going to benefit them in the hereafter, it means that they are desirous of the hereafter. Because whatever they're going to do is only that which is going to benefit them in the next life. And that is because the dunya and the akhirah, darratan, إِذَا زَاهِدَ فِي إِهْدَاهُمَا فَهُوَ رَاغِبٌ فِي الْأُخْرَى. That is because the dunya and the akhirah, this world and the next life, are like a man who has two wives. Yani, a man who has two wives. If he is indifferent towards one of them, that means he's desirous of the other. The person who's indifferent towards the world because they're desirous of the hereafter. And the opposite is also true. Whoever is going after this dunya means that they are not desirous of the next life. Rather, he said, included in this statement, observe zuhd in the dunya and Allah will love you, he said it also includes or implies the meaning that the human being should be diligent, eager, yani desirous of performing a'mal al-akhirah, the deeds, the actions of the hereafter, including doing what? The things that we have been commanded and leaving off those things that we have been prohibited and leaving off everything that is not going to benefit one in the next life. Yani from those things which cause you to waste your time and there's no benefit in them. That's what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen said. Okay, now we go to the second part of this hadith. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, Hafizullah, may Allah protect and preserve, he said the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wazhad fi ma inda an-nas yuhibbuka an-nas, yani observe zuhud, yani abstain from, don't be desirous of what is with the people, what they have, their wealth and their possessions. If you are indifferent to what they have, you don't show any inclination or desire for what they have, then the people will love you. The people, he said, are harisun ala al-mal wal-mata fi hayat al-dunya. The people are desirous of, bent on, eager to get, yani, greedy for the wealth and the mata, the things of this world that people enjoy and find pleasure in. Wealth and the things that people enjoy, find pleasure in, find benefit in, people are greedy for these things in the hayat al-dunya. وَالْغَالِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ إِمْسَاكُ مَا فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ وَعَدِمْ الْجُودِ بِهِ. And the ghalib, yani what is most common amongst the human beings, is that they hold on to what they possess. إِمْسَاكُ مَا فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ. They're holding on to it, and they're not going to be generous and charitable with it, giving it away. That's the ghalib. The proof of this, the Shaykh mentions here the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, um, I didn't look for the reference for this ayah, but in any case, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَاعَتُمْ. Surah Taghabun. Naam. Surah Taghab. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَاعَتُمْ وَاسْمَعُوا وَاعْتِئُوا وَأَنْفِقُوا خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Yani, so observe taqwa of Allah as best you can, and hear and obey, and spend from what you possess, from the wealth that Allah has given to you, that is better for yourselves. Spending what you have is better for yourself. خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. And whoever is saved from the shuh, the greediness of his nafs, these are they who will be successful. Yani, here in this ayah, Allah is showing that, yani, that this is the nature of the human being. Shuh nafs. Yani, that his nafs is greedy. Whoever is saved from that, most people are not, then these are those who will be successful. So here the shaykh is mentioning this ayah for what? To show that this is the ghalib, that the human being is holding on to what they have. They're not giving it up. وَلَا يُعْجِبُهُمْ مَنْ يَطْمَعْ فِي مَا عِنْدَهُمْ أَوْ يَتَطَلَّعْ إِلَيْهِ. And they are not pleased with, they are not happy about those who desire what they possess, or even those who are looking at it. And you got their eyes on it, focused on what you have. Somebody start looking at your stuff, and you get back. Right? فَإِذَا اسْتَغْنَى الْإِنسَانِ عَنْهُمْ نَالَ إِعْجَابَهُمْ وَظَفِرَ بِمَحَبَّتِهِمْ. Yani, so if a person is free of need of the property and the possessions and the what the people possess, they will earn his pleasure. They will earn the pleasure of the people. And if they are successful, yani, in doing so, they will also earn their love. And whoever earns their love will be safe from their evil. Whoever earns their love will be safe from their evil. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan says to the second part of this hadith, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَزْهَدْ فِي مَا فِي أَيْدِي النَّاسِ يُحِبُّكَ النَّاسِ. And a slightly different wording he came in his edition of the explanation of 40 hadith. He said, observe zuhud in reference to that which is in the hands of the people and the people will love you. He said it means don't be looking to what the people possess, what they have in their hands, their possessions. Because if you're looking at, staring at, showing interest in what they have in their hands and asking them for it, they will hate you. That is because they love, yani, they do not love, لا يحبون ولا يريدون بذل ما بأيديهم. Because they don't love and they don't want to spend, they don't want to give up that which they have in their hands. People don't, they don't want to give, this is the ghalib, that people are, they're not trying to give up what they have. So don't make the people uncomfortable by looking at, expressing interest in, staring at, and asking for what they possess. If you want the love of the people, don't ask them for their stuff. وَاسْتَعِمْ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَحْمَا أَمْكَنَكَ ذَلِكَ. But rather, instead of asking the people, seek help from Allah to the best of your ability, as long as you are able to do that. As far as the person, if they are really in need, to ask. If they are really in need, فَإِنَّهُ يُبَاحُ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ أَوْ عِنْدَ الدُّرَارَةِ. But if a person is really in need, they don't have anything and they have to ask, then it's permissible. At the time of need or in time of necessity, it's permissible to ask. The Shaykh says, وَلَكِنْ مَحْمَا أَمْكَنَا أَنْ تَسْتَغْنِيَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. But as long as you are able, whenever it's possible for you to be free of asking the people what they have, don't ask them. Because by doing so, yani, asking the people what they have, yani, you annoy them and you trouble them, and therefore they will hate you. And this is like the saying of the one who said, he recited some poetry here, لَا تَسْعَلَنْ بُنِيَّ آدَمَ حَاجَةً. Don't ask the human beings, the children of Adam, for any need. وَسَلِ الَّذِي أَبْوَابُهُ لا تحجبوا. But ask the one whose doors are not, yani, there's no separation, there's no screen, doors are open. Ask the one whose doors are open. الله يغضب إن تركت سؤاله. Allah is angry if you don't ask him. وبني آدم حين يسأل يغضب. But as far as the human being, they are angry if you ask them. The Shaykh says,
When you ask the people, they will hate you. But when you ask Allah Azza wa Jalla, then He will love you because He is Ghaniyun Kareem. He is rich and He is generous. The Shaykh closes here. This is the end of his discussion. He says, this is a qaida. If you want, in kunta turidu al-amal alladhi yuhibbuka Allah fihi wa yuhibbuka an-nas, if you want to know the deed, if you want to do a deed which because of it Allah will love you and the people will love you, then observe zuhud in the dunya and Allah will love you, and observe zuhud in that which is in the hands of the people and the people will love you. As far as the second part of this hadith, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says, as far as that which would be a cause or a reason to earn the love of the people, it is that you observe zuhud. Show no interest or desire for what the people have and they will love you. Do not, la yatlub, don't ask them for anything. For anything. وَلَا يَتَشَوَّقْ إِلَيْهَا, and don't, yani, show a desire for what they have. وَلَا يَسْتَشْرِفْ, and don't be, yani, trying to look at and see what the people have. وَيَكُونُ أَبْعَدِ النَّاسِ عَنْ ذَلِكَ حَتَّى يُحِبَّهُ, and then a person should be what? The furthest from that, from the one who's asking, looking at, or showing desire for what the people have. And in this case, the people will love you. Why? لِأَنَّ النَّاسِ إِذَا سُئِلَ مَا فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ, yani, because the people, when they ask for what they possess, then, yani, it troubles them, it annoys them, and they hate it. And therefore, إِذَا كَانَ بَعِيدًا أَنْ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُ يُحِبُّونَ, if a person is far from this, distance from this, showing any interest or desire for what the people possess, then indeed they will love him. After this, we're going to mention the benefits that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abah Hafizullah mentioned from this hadith. And we already mentioned some benefits from Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan. And we're going to mention a couple of benefits also from Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. And if there's any time remaining, there are a few other benefits from other sources. Okay, from the benefits of this hadith, the Shaykh mentions five. Five benefits from this hadith. Number one, حرص الصحابة على ما يجلب لهم محبة الله ومحبة الناس. Yani, the desire, the yani strong desire or eagerness of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiyallahu anhum to know what it is that will earn for them the love of Allah and the love of the people. Yani, and we've seen in previous hadith that this hirs of the Sahaba was for whatever would benefit them, yani with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second benefit from this hadith, and this is a qaida, ithbat, it's not a qaida, but it's based on a qaida, ithbat sifat al-mahabba lillahi azza wa jalla. And in this hadith also there's the confirmation of the sifa, the characteristic or the description of love being ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that this hadith confirms that this is a description, a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He loves. And this should be affirmed, yani having iman in it, as the scholars of Sunnah said, without tashbih, without making any resemblance with the sifa of Allah to the sifa of the human beings. We don't make any resemblance between the love that Allah is described with and the love of human beings. Wala takyif, and we don't explain how it is the love of Allah, nor do we do ta'atil, yani empty it of meaning, yani deprive it of actual meaning, nor do we do tahrif, that is, distort its meaning and give it some other interpretation. Point number three. Very, very important point. أَنَّ الْخَيْرَ لِلْعَبْدِ فِي مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ إِيَّاهُ, yani that the absolute khair for the human being is in Allah loving him. As some of the scholars said, لَيْسَ شَأْن, yani the important thing is not أَنْ يُحِبْ, that somebody loves, وَلَكِنْ أَشَأْن, huh? And you hub, that you are loved. And it's not so important that a person claims they love Allah. What is important is that Allah loves you. The Shaykh says, Al-Khayr, the absolute khayr for the abd is that Allah loves him. That's what's important. And that's what this hadith is about. How to earn the love of Allah. It is by giving up all of those things that a person is not in need of from the lawful things, in order to occupy themselves with that which is, yani, will earn them reward in the next life. Yani giving up, wasting time and effort and energy in those things that a person doesn't need. Because whoever is occupied with seeking the dunya, they will not be occupied with seeking the akhirah. The point number four, the Shaykh says, وَأَنَّ مِمَّا يَجْلِبُ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ الزُّهْدِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. From amongst those things that acquire, that through which a person achieves the love of Allah, is الزُّهْد, in reference to the things of this world. And the fifth point, the Shaykh says, أن الزهد المرء فيما في أيدي الناس سبب في محبتهم إياه فيحصل خيرهم ويسلم من شرهم. That the zuhud of a person in reference to that which is in the hands of the people, yani he's showing no interest in, not looking at, desiring or asking for what the people possess, is a cause for earning the love for the people loving him. So that a person through this will achieve their good. He will get good from them. And he will be saved from their harm. Naam. And just a quick point. Yani Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abah, Hafidhumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. He said in his discussion concerning this hadith that the love of Allah is the asl and the love of the people is far. Yani that the asl, the main thing that a person should be seeking is the love of Allah. And a branch from that, yani what comes forth from that, is the love of the people. And he mentioned the hadith concerning this, and he mentioned some other evidence too. ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِي وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three things that whoever is described with them, they will find the halawa, the sweetness of iman. He said, أَنْ يَكُونُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. That Allah and His Messenger is more beloved to him than anyone or anything besides them. وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهُ. And that you love somebody, you don't love them except for Allah. So the love of Allah is the asl, and loving the people comes from that. Yani you love somebody, yani because of, for the sake of Allah. Also, yani from the benefits of this hadith, Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentioned several benefits. I'm just going to mention a couple of them. One of them that he mentioned is from the benefits of this hadith. And how do we look in terms of that then? Allahu Akbar. Good. From the benefits of this hadith, أن الإنسان بطبيعة الحال يحب أن يحبه الله وأن يحبه الناس ويقره. Yani that a person loves, is pleased with the fact that Allah loves him and that the people love him, and the opposite, he hates that. Yani Allah hates him and that the people hates him. And so the Prophet ﷺ made clear in this hadith how this can be achieved. Yani earning the love of Allah and the love of the people. Yani the nature of the human being is that they want to be loved and that they don't like being hated. The second benefit that I want to mention from Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah, from the benefits of this hadith, أَنَّ مَنْ زَهِدَ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهِ لِأَنَّ الزُّهْدِ فِي الدُّنْيَا يَسْتَلْزِمُ الرَّغْبَةَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَقَدْ سَبَقَ مَعْنَى الزُّهْدِ وَأَنَّهُ تَرْقْ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Yani, that from the benefits of this hadith is that the person who observes zuhud in reference to the world, Allah would love him, and that is because showing no interest in the things of this world that a person is not in need of, abstaining from those things and not being greedy for, desirous of, and occupying yourself with the things that you're not in need of in this world, necessitates that a person will be desirous of, yani the akhirah, of the next life. And we have already clarified the meaning of a zuhud. Yani Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, he said, the meaning of a zuhud is that a person leaves off that which will not benefit them in the next life. Leaving off that which will not benefit them in the next life. These are the two probably definitions to try to remember. Yani the first definition is that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin mentions, Hafizullah, he said what? The zuhud is, leaving off everything that occupies you, distracts you from Allah. And here, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymi mentions the definition of Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. He said that a zuhud is leaving off everything that will not benefit you in the next life. Okay, so there's a couple of other points that we make since we still have a few minutes remaining. So from the benefits that were mentioned in the book Al-Fawaid Al-Saniyah, Min Shuruhat Arba'in Al-Nawawiyyah, yani some of the benefits that are yani lofty, noble benefits that are from the explanations, various explanations of 40 hadith. Yani one of them, he said, الزهد مرتبته أعلى من الورع. Yani that الزهد, its station is higher than الورع. And الورع, he said, is that a person leaves off that which is harmful. Is that a person avoids things that are sinful, that are harmful. But الزهد is higher than that. It's leaving that which will not benefit a person in the next life. Yani al-wara' is that a person leaves off sinful acts that will be harmful to them. But al-zuhd is even off leaving off things that may not be harmful, but they will not benefit you in the next life. So it's a higher level. Another point he said, حقيقة الزهد في الدنيا, yani the reality of zuhd in the world is thinking that, looking, deeming the world to be small, to be invaluable, of no value, of little value. And having contempt and disdain and scorn for the things of the world, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't see yani any value in the things of this world, as mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 77th Ayah, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ. Yani the things that people enjoy in this world, the things that people find pleasure in this world, are قَلِيلٌ, yani are of little value, of no real significance. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى, while the hereafter is far better for those who have taqwa. Another point that he mentions was a little bit lengthy. Try to summarize it a little bit. He says that az-zuhd al-qalb. You know, that zuhd is the zuhd that's in the heart. The root of zuhd is in the heart. So az-zuhd, in reference to the things of the world, is to remove the worldly things from your heart. Even if you possess some worldly things in your hand. Yani, zuhd doesn't mean a person can't have possessions, that you can't have a car and some clothing and a house to live in. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that those things are, your heart is not attached to them, even if you possess them. So zuhd is zuhd al-qalb. It means to remove the love of the things of this world from your heart, even if you need some of those things to live, in your life. You need provisions and things in this world. So he says that there's no contradiction between a person having some nice clothing or driving a nice car, as long as there's no extravagance in it and it's not a means of looking down on the other people. So it is permissible for a person to enjoy the ni'm that Allah has blessed them with, and that they use it, and that they use it, and that to enjoy those things, because Allah loves to the ether, the effect of the blessings that He has given. He loves it to be seen on His servants. And He loves that they be thankful for His blessings, and He loves that they be used in obedience to Him and in support of His deen. The last point that's mentioned from these benefits is that there's no harm in striving فِيمَا تَكْتَسِبْ بِهِ مَحَبَّةَ النَّاسِ. There's no harm in striving to do those things to which a person would earn the love of the people. There's no harm in doing that. مِمَّا لَيْسَ بِمُحَرَّمٍ, as long as a person is not doing something that's haram to earn the love of the people. There's no harm in doing so, he said. لَا بَأْسِ بَلْ هُوَ مَنْدُوبِ إِلَيْهِ, rather it is something that is commendable to earn the love of the people, the believers, the Muslims, as long as you don't engage in that which is haram. And this is indicated in the command from the Prophet ﷺ to spread salams. And other than that, from those things that we have been commanded with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger in order to earn the love of the people. And this, any point that the Shaykh is making, is that it's not only permissible, there's no harm in seeking to earn the love of the people, rather it's something commendable, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have commanded us to do certain things to earn the love of the believers. From amongst them is the hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim, and he on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You all will not enter the paradise until you all believe. يعني until you believe. You will not enter paradise without iman. ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. And you will not have complete and perfect iman until you love one another. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم encouraged us to seek the love of one another. He said ألا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم. Shall I not direct you to something which, if you were to do it, you would be loving one another? Yani the Prophet is telling us this, I'm going to direct you to something that will help you to love one another. This is good that you love one another. أفشوا السلام بينكم. And he spread salams amongst yourselves. And I guess we'll stop with this. I'm just going to mention just quickly though that Sheikh Salih, Sheikh Abdulaziz Ali Sheikh, yani the Minister of Religious Affairs, he actually gave a lengthy discussion concerning this hadith, like pages and pages and pages, and he mentioned four definitions, and I'm just going to mention one of them that we didn't mention before. And he said that from the definitions that the scholars have given for a zuhud, he said is that a person has more trust in what is with Allah than they have in what is in their own hands. A person is more confident in the promise of Allah, what Allah promised that He will give to you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيُرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for them, and He will provide for them from where they didn't imagine it. Yani the zuhud is that a person has more trust in what Allah promised, that if you observe taqwa, I'm going to take care of you, than the money that they have in their hand or in their bank. He said this is one of the definitions of a zuhud. It was narrated from the Prophet, but not authentically. It's narrated mawquf, authentically, from Abi Muslim al-Qawlani, in which he said, لَيْسَ الزَّهَادَ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِتَحْرِيمَ الْحَلَالِ وَلَا عِضَاعَةُ الْمَالِ. Yani that a zuhud in this world is not by making haram things that Allah has allowed us, made lawful, nor by wasting or throwing away the wealth. وَإِنَّمَا الزَّهَادَ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَن تَكُونُوا بِمَا فِي يَدَيْ اللَّهِ أَوْثَقْ مِمَّا فِي يَدَيْكَ. Rather, a zahada in this world is that a person is more confident of, yani, is more confident of that which is in the hands of Allah than that which is in their own hands. And then the Shaykh went on to mention other definitions. And one of them, one of the definitions that he mentioned, is the definition that Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen mentioned, the definition of Shaykh Al-Islam al-Taymiyyah, and that is that a zuhud is that a person, what? Leaves off everything that will not benefit them in the Akhirah. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or comment or correction, inshallah we may take the correction and save the questions and comments for later. Any corrections? What we have said tonight. طيب. So we'll stop here inshallah for the salat, and whoever is not in a hurry after the salat, we're going to take just a couple of minutes to sit with one another and have some informal sitting where we're going to discuss a little bit further about this hadith informally, and we're going to have some little snack, something, right? Something to eat and drink. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum allahu khayra.